on and see what he says. Starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "So, if you have been raised with Christ..." Now remember last week I talked to us about the fact that we were resurrected with Christ and showed you where Scripture and where Paul says we are resurrected with Christ. So that if we're resurrected, we're supposed to be new beings. "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Seek the things above. We seek a lot of things in life, don't we? We seek happiness. We seek fame. We seek power. We seek fortune. We seek security. We seek love. We seek comfort. We seek revenge sometimes. We seek justice. We seek a lot of things, but do we seek God? When we seek these other things, especially if we're seeking something like success and money, we're willing to work 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, whatever it takes to get that, aren't we, often? Sometimes if we're seeking love, we're willing to give things up in order to spend time with our loved one. We're ready to make the sacrifice, if you will, to seek those things. But do we seek God with that same zeal? Do we really seek God and say, "We're going to do whatever it takes to find you. I'm going to work 60 hours a week to seek you, Lord. I'm going to use my money in such a way like we would to woo a lover. I'm going to woo you, Lord. I'm going to use my money for you. I want to seek you." Do we really seek him that way? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to the people, and he's talking there, and he says, "Why do you store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal? Why do you do that?" He goes on, he talks to the people about serving two masters, and he tells them, "You can't serve two because you're going to love one and hate the other." He tells them, "Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, or what you wear." In other words, Jesus is confronting these people at the time about the things that we all care about in this world and saying, "Don't worry about that." And he ends that discourse by saying this in Matthew 6:23. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I think we misunderstand sometimes what it takes to be successful. We seek the things without God, and what we need to do is seek God, and then the things will be added. In fact, when we seek God, some of the things we think are necessary may even drift away and other things replace them. Because just knowing God is enough. More than we could think, dream, or ask even. Are we seeking Jesus first? Ask yourself that question personally. Are you seeking Jesus first? Or are you seeking other things? Back to Paul in Colossians. He then says, "Set your minds on things that are above." Set your mind on things above. "Not on the things that are of the earth, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Set your mind on things above. I'm going to go over here and step out a minute, and I'm going to just ask Molly. Molly says, "Why are you picking on me?" You ever tell your kids, "Set your mind on it, you can do it"? You ever heard that? You ever been told that? I know a lot of times I was told, "I don't think I can do it." Well, if you set your mind to it, you can. And we see that and we understand that, don't we? If we focus in, we can do more and we can achieve some of the goals that we want. Paul's telling us the same thing. Set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on Jesus Christ. Set your mind on the things of God, not on the things of this earth. To know God, we have to set our mind on the things that are above. To know God, we have to set our mind on the things that are in here. So that means you got to know what's in here. So to know God, when you set your mind, the first thing you better do is you better be able to read here. Now, if you can't read, guess what? That's okay. because they got this thing on cassette now, and they got it on the internet, and all you got to do is go in and type in and hit the button, and guess what? It'll read to you. So nobody's got any excuses. Even if you can't see, if somebody will just pull it up and push play, you can hear it. Do you want to be spiritual? Do you really want to know Jesus Christ? Do you really want to understand His Word? Then set your mind on it and try. Our desire should be found in loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not in loving the accolades of society or the comforts of this world. In fact, Paul said, verse 4 here, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. If Christ is our life, guess what? That means He's the only one that we can live through. We don't live through ourselves. We live through Jesus Christ. Paul continues there, if I'll turn the page. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Paul seems to tell us here that there are a lot of things that we have to put aside, that we have to give up. And before we say, well, Paul, you don't know how hard it is, remember who Paul was. Remember when we meet Paul the first time, we think he's the one that may have been prosecuting Stephen. And Paul is a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was trained under Gamaliel. Did I say that right? That name anyway. Who was the greatest rabbinical Pharisee teacher of the time. He was in the who's who of Jerusalem, if you will, Paul was. And yet he gave all that up when he experienced Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus to work for Christ. In fact, in Philippians 3:8, Paul put it this way, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish. That's not actually what the word means. It means something even worse. But I regard it all as garbage in order I may gain Christ. That's really seeking Christ, isn't it? To give everything else up. Are we willing to do that? Now, as Paul moves on, he talked about some negative things there. He goes on and talks about some more in some other verses. But I want to go ahead and jump to 12 and talk about the positive things he talks about. Verse 12, he says that as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, I remind you that the church, all of us, whether you feel it or not, are holy and beloved of God, that God loves us. Right there where you are, just as you are. You don't have to be, don't even have to have hair, Eric. Aren't you and I glad about that? You know, you don't have to be a certain figure. You don't have to be so wealthy or whatever. God loves us just as we are, and we are holy. We are called to be His priest. And He tells us how we're supposed to live then. He says, because we're holy and loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I could have used those yesterday on I-4. You understand what I mean? Some of you could have used it this morning on 98, right? We can use those when I turn the news on sometimes. It's better not to turn the news on, to be honest with you, sometimes. You know? What would the world look like if we lived with compassion? Actually cared what others thought. Actually cared what they were going through. If we were kind, if instead of when somebody answers you kind of sharply, instead of coming back at them in another sharp manner, we're kind in return. If we were humble, if we were meek, if we were patient with others, would the world be different? In fact, I think since most of us in here are over 60, I think I could probably say if you went back to your childhood, wouldn't you find that the world was a little different then and it seemed to be more those things? Why can't it still be? Especially within the church, within you and I. Put in my words, what Paul said here was be in tune with other people. Hurt for those that are hurting. Rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Be kind to everyone, no matter what they may say. And don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. Rub elbows with all people and be patient with all people. And thank you, Lord, you were patient with me. So help me to be patient with others. Then he actually says that in verse 13 there. He says, bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against the other, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. I come up short here. How about you? God forgave me a whole bunch of stuff in my life that I don't want to remember. Some stuff I can't remember. And yet, I don't forgive others that way. Do you? I mean, I'm brought up really short here when he says that. Ouch, I want to say. Forgive as you forgave me, Lord. Unfortunately, that would mean I have to let everything go. Because of what he forgave me for in my past. Or even some of the things I've done. I failed this week. Anybody else fail this week? You don't have to raise your hand, Dick. It's okay. But I failed this week. You know, I let a telemarketer really get under my skin. You know, one that called the church office even. What are you doing calling here? And then they tell me what I can and can't do. And then Lord says, you know, I'm saying I took care of that. Lord says, yeah, you did, but you know, you identified yourself as Lake Gibson United Methodist Church when you answered the phone. What do you think they think now? Well, Lord, they're not in this city, so I'll never see them, I don't think. Yeah, but what kind of witness did you set? Okay, God, I've messed up. What do you want me to do now? You know what the word was? Repent. Give me 20 push-ups. Right? But sort of kind of like that, you know. Repent, be aware, and remember who you represent when you do these things. Then Paul says, above all, clothe yourself with love. Love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Our utmost priority is to be love. Now, we're going to argue about what that love looks like because there's this thing called tough love. And there's this other thing called, I guess we would call it liberal love, where you let everybody get away with everything, which I don't think that's love. But that's a matter of debate to some degree. But I think of a marriage. I think of a family. I think of what holds them together, and that's love. And even when they hurt you, you keep coming back for more, don't you? Anybody had brothers and sisters? Dick, you had brothers and sisters? Did y'all fight? Dwight's shaking his head. Yeah, I mean, you'd be willing to kill each other. And I've seen this. Two brothers out there fighting, and somebody goes and gets in between them, and all of a sudden, both the brothers have jumped on that one person and beaten them up because they picked on them. The love that holds family together keeps them coming back and keeps them forgiving. That's what we're supposed to be as a church, as a community, a family that is held together and continues to forgive even when we fall short. And Paul begins his ending anyway, says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which you were indeed called to one body, and be thankful. That love that God put in us is what we're thankful for. How do we get this? How do you get it? Paul's about to tell us. Verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to seek God? You want what we talked about? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not only the word here, but the word has Jesus Christ. The word has the Holy Spirit. The word has doing the things that he told us to do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Guess what that means? You have to intentionally read it. You have to intentionally get in the class, small group, with friends at work or something, and you have to intentionally talk about it and learn and grow. And you've got to intentionally set time aside that you can come and worship like this, but also worship individually where God can speak to you. You've got to have a program, if you will, a regiment, a method, that's why we're called Methodists, remember? A method where I'm going to read the word 15 minutes each day and I'm going to pray for 15, whatever it may be that God starts you on. And if you can't do that, start with 5 minutes. Just start. And let God work on you and let God's word dwell in you. Paul says, once you have done that, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Not only here, go out and sing them in the car. Walk down the street and sing them. If any of you work, walk to the water cooler and sing that song we sang and see what happens tomorrow morning. See if you can enlighten somebody's day. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have in church, in the community, and I can say now online. You've got podcasts and YouTubes and everything else you can go, and you can worship with them, and you can hear messages and Bible teaching. Come worship it with thanksgiving in your heart. And then as Paul ends, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As I was putting this together and I was ending this, I got to thinking about something. I got to thinking about the Quakers and the Amish and the Amish. I got to thinking about the communities they live in. You know, they don't always get a positive light. Sometimes it's a negative light that they seem to live in, but they are a community that's together, aren't they? They have shared values, if you will. They don't really adapt to society as they see it, maybe. And yet, there's something there that we all admire, such as if one falls sick and the crops need harvesting, they come together to help harvest those crops. We've seen it on television. If a barn burns down or you need a new barn and you put the call out, they show up and they build this together. They have a community where they help one another. And they share one with one another. Maybe that's what we need. A community not that isolates itself, so to speak, but a community that's interactive in helping those in need and coming beside those in need and lifting them up and rejoicing with those who rejoice. We did that here, as well as in the places we live and in this community. We may not have enough seats in here. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And that everybody that come in here, they could experience God for themselves. Not only in the worship and in the singing, but they experienced God as you made a difference in their life. And as you told them what God had done for you, they saw that he could have that same experience with them and would. Take your connection card, if you will. What will your next step be? Will it be to memorize Colossians 3:14, which says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony? And as you memorize that verse will come to your mind like it will mine when I pick up the phone and say, Lake Gibson United Methodist Church, and they say this is... I love it when they call me and they say, your iPad has crashed. And I'm thinking, I don't have an iPad. Or maybe your next step would be to desire a walk in God's love. That you want to walk in God's love. That you want his love to fill you in such a way that other people see it. Or maybe you can check the one that says, Lord, may your peace fill me. And know that as you ask for his peace, you're going to have to seek him, know his word, and let it dwell in you. And hopefully we can check that last one that says, God, may you have all the glory. Go with him in prayer as we prepare our hearts. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can seek you. And Lord, I pray that we are seeking you right now. That each and every person in here or each and every person that may listen to this on the internet, that we're truly seeking your heart, your way, your truth this day. And as we do seek you, Lord, may you reveal yourself to us. May you pour your love into our life in such a way that we know that we are changed, transformed, to become more like Jesus Christ, to go forth and to tell others the good news of the gospel and to show them the love which you have shown us. We ask it in your name. Amen. Ushers, please come forward. Let us bless the offering, please. Lord, as we come before you, we recognize that all that we have is from you. So we give back to you now a portion. We ask that you would bless these gifts, whether they be called tithes, pledges, offerings, gifts, whatever. Bless them and help those who oversee their use to do so in such a way that they're good stewards and they're spreading the gospel into this community and around the world. Bless both gift and giver. We ask in your name. Amen. Your closing hymn will not be in your book because it came out of Cokesbury. It's called Dwelling in Beulah Land. Hopefully you know it. It will also be on the screen. So I picked this psalm because after the sermon, well, this is what I wanted. This is where my intentions were. Hopefully we come together as a community, which is us dwelling in Beulah Land, and hopefully this song will actually mean something to us. Bob?
Okay. Please stand as you are able.